Welcome to Mindset for Medical Moms. I'm your host, Courtney Given, fellow medical mom and life coach. I'm here to help you handle everything from doctor's appointments to surgery so you can feel confidence and peace as you navigate the ups and downs of medical motherhood. This podcast will share strategies and real life tools to strengthen your mindset and increase your emotional resilience. I'm so glad you're here. Let's go. Hello, beautiful medical moms. Welcome back to the podcast. Can't believe it's the end of May. I am so excited for summer. And I'm so excited to be talking to you today. I have a Diet Dr. Pepper with me. I just ate some lunch. I am going to throw this out on the podcast. I just thought of this. It's not even in my podcast notes, but I just thought of this. I am going to let you in on a little secret, my friends, my podcast friends. I think you guys are the ones I'm closest with on the internet because I spill all the beans on here. I think I've like retracted a little bit from Instagram, but I really want to show up more. I'm kind of thinking about how I can utilize the Facebook group to the best of my ability, how I can show up on Instagram. I'm doing a lot of thinking and a lot of consideration as I move forward with building out Mindset for Medical Moms. And I've realized there's some things that I'm hiding in. I am losing weight. I am actively tracking calories and I'm going to lose 30 pounds. I gained about 30 pounds in 2020 and I'm going to lose it. And I wanted to talk about it after the fact. I wanted to talk about it after I had already achieved it so that I could hide and not show you my failures. And so I just decided, if you guys are interested, please let me know in the Facebook group because I really do appreciate your feedback. If you guys want to follow my journey, I can share my food choices. I can share my thought processes. I can share my self-coaching. I can share my regular coaching that I get from my coaches. And I can show you the processes and the ups and downs of committing to losing weight and doing it in a little bit of a more public way with you guys, because I want to be an example of what I coach, what I teach, and what I share with my clients and all of you. And it's actually a really perfect way because this episode is all about our circumstances. And I want to talk to you about how you can think about your circumstance. And I was just thinking, like, losing weight is a circumstance that I can think anything about. And I'm going to choose to believe and think that this is going to be an incredible experience to do with all of you. I might do a whole podcast episode on it later. But I know that I was just talking to another medical mom the other day, and she was saying that I'm like a body neutral person, so I'm not like a huge body positive or obviously not body negative, but I like neutrality. I think it served me very well. And so I was just talking to her a little bit about that and how she struggled with trying to find that neutrality while being in and out of the hospital because she felt like she was going to extremes, like being in the hospital, eating a ton of random stuff that she could just eat whatever was convenient, and then also coming back and feeling like she had to make up for the hospital. And I know from my own experience and many other medical moms, it's just a very common experience. And so I would love to know if this is something you guys want to know more about. I'll probably just share some more here and there and gauge your guys' interest. The other day, I was talking to an acquaintance, and this is why I'm doing this podcast. We were discussing what I do with coaching. She is a coach in training, and I'm kind of just helping her with some things. And we discussed my niche, which is medical moms. And we specifically talked about how I utilize a coaching tool that our certification body teaches and we practice in our coaching businesses. And this is a tool I have used in all of the years I've coached And it's one of the very first tools that helped me when I was not a coach. It was one of those moments where I was like, this is a big deal. How can I use this in all areas of my life? And so I like to call it putting a problem through a fact machine. Not facts, but fact, as in an objective, factual statement. Let's list out the facts. In fact, this is something I do with my clients all the time. When they're very overwhelmed, when they're very emotional, we look at the facts. Because facts don't have feelings. Facts are just information. And using this tool, creating a body of neutrality, helps us decide how we want to feel, and it helps us process our feelings. It tells us, it shows us directly. It's like a perfect little map of like, here are the facts, here are your thoughts about those facts, and this is how it's making you feel. Let's sit with those feelings first. It's always feelings first, my friends. So I want to tell you a little bit about my experience. When my daughter, Zola, she has hypoplastic left heart syndrome, and she had to have two surgeries in California while we lived in Hawaii, and we could not travel between then. So I traveled for my birth to California, and we had our first surgery. My husband ended up moving after 6 months back to Hawaii with one of my other kids, and I was alone in California. He was alone in Hawaii with, we each had one kid. Divide and conquer. I was drowning. I was so lost in my emotions. And I didn't realize until Jeff left, my husband, that how much I leaned on him in terms of not noticing my emotions. And he left and I had this buffer away from me. I was like, I'm just stuck in all my feelings. It also brought up other feelings and other insecurities about myself and my confidence. And I was just feeling like it was like a metamorphosis of sorts. It was like, looking back, it 100% was, but at the time it felt like I was just drowning and I needed some place to land. I needed a place, I needed solid ground under my feet. And I found coaching. And one of the first tools and concepts I heard was that your circumstances are neutral. The facts of your story are neutral and they don't mean anything until you think a thought about it. So first, before I begin, I want to read the definition of neutral, because when I say this, a lot of you guys have opinions about it. Like, that's not true. Murder is not neutral. Rape is not neutral. Other things are not neutral. Bad things are bad. Good things are good. And I agree with you. And it's still a choice that you're believing that. Because just because something in your opinion is bad does not mean that it is universally believed that way. There are people in the world that believe otherwise. And so something exists in the world, right? As in murder, it exists in the world. That's a fact. Now, how do you want to think about that? How do you want to think about that circumstance that it exists? Most of us are going to say, yeah, it's bad. Right. I'm not here to discuss the philosophy on morality, but I'm here to help us think about our thoughts and what meaning we give to things before we've had a chance to make a choice. So I'm going to read the definition of neutral. These are four different definitions. Well, one is about color, like neutral colors, but that's here nor there. Two of the definitions are used as an adjective and one as a noun. So as a noun, it's an impartial or unbiased person or country. But this is like a neutral person, which is what a coach does. It maintains neutrality. I will hear your circumstances and maintain neutrality for you. The other definitions are, one, not helping or supporting either side in a conflict. They remain impartial or neutral. Or two, having no strongly marked or positive characteristics or features. And I love this one because most often people think that neutral means positive. If I say, well, this is a neutral circumstance, they're like, okay, so what? I'm just supposed to think it's good? And I was like, notice I didn't say it's good. I just said it was neutral. It exists in the world. And that is a fact. Lots of things we dislike exist in the world. And just because we dislike it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So instead, we just have to recognize that we are the ones deciding how we feel about things. Whereas we're taught that the circumstance creates our feelings, and that's not how it works. Your thinking creates how you feel. The circumstance does not. And this is the biggest gift you can give yourself, because it helps you decide how you want to think about every single circumstance in your life. No longer do you have to feel like you're a victim to every bad day, every worst case scenario, because it's all subjective. With Zola, I just felt completely broken. I felt like my life was over. I felt like there was a limit to how much happiness I could have. I felt like there was a version of motherhood that was going to be the real version, the better version, the brand name version of motherhood. And then there was my version. I got the generic version of motherhood. I got the lesser version of motherhood because I was going through this circumstance, this situation with Zola's heart and going through all of her surgeries. And I was very sad and I was very scared. But I did not know how to verbalize any of that because I didn't have any tools whatsoever to differentiate between the facts, my thoughts, and my feelings. And so as I began to uncover these things and learn these skills and learn more about myself and learn more about my brain, I realized that this was the greatest gift I could give myself because I could decide how I wanted to think about Zola's heart defect. I could decide how I wanted to think about her surgeries, about her future. I could decide how I wanted to feel about my motherhood regarding a child with medical complexities. I could decide how I wanted to think about myself and my future and the amount of happiness that I was able to receive. It was life-changing. This did not happen overnight. I did not all of a sudden wake up and think, yes, everything is neutral in the world, and I choose to believe that everything is lovely and sunshine and rainbows. Absolutely not. We hold two things to be true at the same time, all the time in our life. And this is another tool that I want you guys to implement and consider where you can do this in your life, because all or nothing thinking, black and white thinking, is not helpful in medical motherhood and mostly in all of your life. There are lots of ands. We are not going to live in a black and white world. We are going to see the ands, which is understanding that this is a neutral thing that exists, right? Any circumstance, this exists in the world, and there is no strong indications for it either way. So when I think about that, this is how I like to teach it. It's like dark chocolate is a neutral circumstance. And lots of people have different opinions about whether it tastes like dirt or it's like God's gift to the world. It still just exists. It just is created and it exists. And now we get to decide how we think about it. I'm not saying that I think murder should exist. I'm saying that it does exist regardless of how I feel about it, and I still choose to believe that it's bad. But it's also a gray area, because when we start getting into the philosophy of morality, of the death penalty, do we murder murderers? Do we murder people who abuse people? Right? Like, there are gray areas in almost every scenario. I don't advocate for abuse. I'm not advocating for rape or any kind of horrific, awful thing that exists in the world, but they exist, and I know for sure where I stand on those things, even if other people in the world, out there in the world, disagree. There are some circumstances. So here's what I want you to know about your circumstances as a medical mom. There are some circumstances that you can change, and there are some that you can't. And this might sound obvious, but it's important to understand which ones are which. Because sometimes you are going to want to change a circumstance that cannot be changed. And there are going to be circumstances that you want to change and you don't feel like you can, even though you can. Like, there are things where I will coach someone and, like, say, for example, where you live, and they will start having a lot of mind drama, thoughts and complaints about where they live. And they will say things like, I don't like my neighborhood and my neighbors, or I'm like really far away from things. And if I suggest, okay, why don't you move? They're like, well, I can't move. But you can. You're just choosing not to change that circumstance in your life. And that's totally fine, right? It's a neutral circumstance. But when we don't see where our choices are, we lose that kind of power. We stop seeing our authority in our life. We stop seeing our own ability to enact change in our life. Because if we can't see what we are allowed to do and what we are actively choosing, we don't recognize that we can change those circumstances. There are some things that you will want to change and you can't. And in those circumstances, it's not helpful to dwell on the fact that you can't change them. If it's a circumstance that you've chosen for any reason, I want you to consider having your own back. When we were in California for Zola's surgeries, I lived in California for 9 months while she got both of her surgeries, and I gave birth and all that, and she recovered. A whole 9 months went by. I did not want to live in California. I wanted to live with my family in Hawaii. And I also wanted to have my own back during that process. So when I started feeling sad or complaining about the circumstance that I wanted to change, but I couldn't yet for very good reasons, I reminded myself of that. I've chosen this for very good reasons. And I also understand that I feel certain feelings about it. But I didn't want that to be the only thing on my mind. I didn't want that to be the constant replaying. I wish I was in Hawaii. I wish I was in Hawaii. I just wish I was in Hawaii. I did not want that playing in my background all the time. So one of the very first things that I started changing, because I could wrap my mind around this, was that living in California was a neutral circumstance and I could decide how I wanted to think about it. And how I wanted to think about it was that I am here because of Zola and I'm willing to do it. Not overly positive, not crazy exciting, but it worked for me because it helped me stay on track. It showed me my choice in the matter, my power, my authority over my life. And when you are able to do that, you're building that confidence in yourself that you make good decisions, that you're doing the things that you know you should be doing for your life. And you have your own back through that. Recently, I've started having thoughts about Hawaii. Isn't that interesting? Because it doesn't matter. The circumstance does not create your feelings. And recently I've been thinking about like extracurriculars with my kids. And I kept thinking like it would be so much easier in California for this. And it would be so much easier in California for that. And to an extent, it's true. I always tell anyone who asks about living in Hawaii that it is a very inconvenient place to live. And I love it. I say that a lot. And it's so funny because people are like, oh, interesting. But here's the deal. I'm going to be in Hawaii for a minimum the next 5 years at minimum. And it doesn't serve me to continue to like wallow back and forth and to think that other places to live would be easier because it's not even an option right now. And so rather than let myself feel all these conflicting emotions, I've noticed my thought process and I've pulled it back in and I've said, you know what? I am not going to let my mind run wild over this circumstance. I am just going to decide how I want to think about it, which is serving me so much better. I feel less stressed. I feel less confused. I feel less overwhelmed about our future. I'm just deciding like we are exactly where we're supposed to be. And I'm going to be able to do everything I want for my family and for my business and for myself with where we are at. And this grounds me. It helps me say, I have what I need here. I don't need to look outside. And I can get very creative if I need to go to another state or travel for whatever reason. the next thing I want you to know about your past your circumstances is that your past experiences with a circumstance doesn't have to mean that it's going to be like that every time. So often when I coach medical moms, my clients will feel like they've had an appointment with a cardiologist or a specialist, and now the next appointment is coming up and they have all the same thoughts and feelings. And one thing I like to point out, depending on where we're at in our coaching process, is that it doesn't mean it's the same, because every new appointment is different. Every appointment brings you different information. Every appointment is you're different. Your child is physically different. They have grown. They have learned new things. There are going to be physiological changes. There's going to be changes on every front. And so, by and large, it is a different appointment each time. Your brain wants to create patterns. It wants things to be very easy so it can conserve energy. And it simply is easier for your brain to repeat thoughts and feelings versus actively creating new ones. But we can use this to our advantage by getting very curious about how we want to think about the circumstances with our appointments. Too often, your brain will just want to replicate how you felt for every single appointment. So it's like, oh, this appointment was tough. Let's just replicate. Boom, 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 boom. And this is when we leave our mind unmanaged, when we're not actively involved in how we are thinking, when we're not actively being in touch with our feelings and not looking at the facts. So you can do the opposite. Each appointment is different. Each appointment is not the same. And this is going to help you. Before an appointment, I suggest asking yourself, what are the facts? What are your fears? What are your thoughts? How are you feeling? How do you want to feel? Right? Get yourself to answer some specific questions so that you can see what comes up for you. And this will help you feel a little bit more grounded, feel a little bit more clear-headed, and go into each of those appointments feeling like it's a separate circumstance. They're not all the same. They're not all the same circumstance. Each appointment is going to be a different circumstance. And last appointment is going to be different from this appointment. Even if you do feel the same way, it doesn't mean that that appointment is causing that feeling. It is the thoughts you're having. The other thing I want you to know is that, yes, your child's diagnosis is neutral because it exists in the world. Heart defects exists. How do you want to think about it? HLHS exists. How do I want to think about it? Diabetes exists. Cancer exists. Autism exists. ADHD exists. Like, all of these things exist. And how do we want to think about it? This does not mean you only want to think positive thoughts about your circumstances. I want to reiterate this over and over and over. You don't have to think about everything in a positive way, because if I say something is neutral, most of you guys are like, okay, how can I think positive about this? And that's not what this means. I'm genuinely sad that heart defects exist in the world. I'm sad that cancer exists. I am sad that human bodies aren't perfectly healthy all the time. And I allow myself to acknowledge this regularly. But when I'm sad, it is not about trying to change that circumstance. Some people do, right? There are researchers out in the world trying to create cures for cancer. There are people actively trying to change our circumstance, and I love them for it. I am so grateful those people exist in the world who are trying to change the things that we cannot. But acknowledging that something exists and not being able to change it just because I'm sad about it is not always going to help me, right? I don't always want to feel sad about it. I don't always want this to be the thing that is wearing me down. So it's that and, right? It is the ability to acknowledge my feelings and be able to redirect my mind when I'm ready. Like, oftentimes after a cardiologist appointment, I will think about Zola's future and worry and feel sad on purpose about what it will be like. I give myself time, usually in the car. I will contemplate the future, and I'll think about her as a young adult and think about the things that she might have to face. I'll think about the conversations we're going to have as a teenager and her thoughts about her body and how I want to show up then. And the ability to navigate those future appointments, those future circumstances, are largely going to be determined by how I am doing it now and how I am treating myself now. And so the circumstances that can't change matters so much about how you think about it, because those are the things that are going to be there no matter what. Those are the things completely out of our control, and they impact us daily, and then they compound. And then in 10 years from now, when I have a 16-year-old asking me about her scar and her longevity of life and puberty and having kids, I'm going to be able to sit down with her and talk to her and also know that I have the ability to separate my own feelings and have worked through them for years. What you make your circumstances mean is the background information in your brain. All of us do it. It doesn't matter what it is. It just, anything that happens, our brain makes meaning out of it. And so if you are running late, you make that mean about yourself, something about yourself. If your child is acting a fool in the Target parking lot, you're making that mean something about something, right? Making it mean about them, making it mean about you. When your child gets a diagnosis, you make that mean something. And what we make things mean is a choice. Not automatically, but afterwards we can recognize, what are we making it mean, and how do we, and does that serve us? Is it available to us to have another option? And that's what I help my clients explore. What are the things you want to think? What do you want to make it mean that your child has this diagnosis? All of it, right? We're looking at everything. It means they're going to go through some very difficult things. They're going to go through very difficult things, and they can still have an incredible life. I love that. That's what I think about Zola all the time. She is going to go through some very difficult future things, and she's going to have an incredible life. It's not an either or. What do you make it mean that they might be behind on a milestone or two? Maybe what you ask, what do you make it mean that they have a G-tube or need occupational therapy? What do you make it mean about yourself as a parent that you have a child with a diagnosis, or you have a child that is behind on milestones? What does that mean about you as a mom that your child is throwing a tantrum in Target? Right? Like, these are the things that help you understand what's going on, that running dialogue, that inner narrative that is playing and impacting you. And what happens is all of those thoughts create your underlying emotions. So many moms, as I talk to them, as we start coaching, they feel so much shame because that inner dialogue is telling themselves over and over that they're doing something wrong, that they are the problem, that if they tried better or worked harder or were stronger and braver and better advocates, they would be happier. Their kids would be different. Their life could be better, and all of those things. And this is how you uncover that, because there's nothing wrong with you at all. There's nothing wrong. When you ask yourself these questions, I want you to remember that your value and your worth as a person stays constant, 100% worthy all the time. 100%. Your value does not change even when you make mistakes. Your value as a person does not change even when your child is screaming. Like, you are still 100% lovable. What do you make it mean about your own future and the amount of happiness you can experience? This is a big one because too many of us have that inner dialogue, have that running narrative playing in the background of our brain that you're living generic motherhood. That this is generic motherhood and you missed out on brand name motherhood, luxury motherhood. And when you're believing this in the background, you're comparing your life of like, I'm missing out. I have limited the amount of happiness I can have. These are the questions that will reveal what thoughts are occurring and what emotions you're experiencing. You're not going to be thinking everything is neutral and nothing matters all of the time. This is not what I teach. I don't tell my clients, okay, just think that the world is neutral and go at it. This, like any other concept I teach, is about using it at the right time with the right context. Sometimes when I have a client come in, it's appropriate to use this tool right away, and other times it's not. And all of it is connected because the answers to those questions that a lot of times my clients will come to me is that their life is over. They feel like their life has ended in some way. And to some extent, I think that part of our identity shifts and we say goodbye to a version of us that no longer serves us. And we open the door to a new identity. And so they feel that loss. They feel this grief and they feel like it's their life they're grieving. And I like to show or consider for myself and share with my clients that you guys can consider it just an identity shift. Sometimes you might be believing that your happiness is limited, that your future is less than what it could be, your child's worth is less than what it should be, that you missed out on a version of life that was supposed to be better, and that essentially everything's gone to shit. And so you effectively start believing that your circumstances cause your feelings. And that there's nothing you can do about it except feel this way forever. And that is the least helpful thing, the least empowering thing you can think about your life. Because there will be many, many hard things you encounter, not just in medical motherhood, but in marriage and other family relationships, in friendships, in parenting skills, career decisions, things you want to do, hobbies you want to have, things you want to create. Like all of our life impacts us if we are thinking that the impact us negatively, if we are constantly thinking that the circumstance is simply bad and really awful and we can do nothing about it. You don't have a choice in how you feel when you think that way. And this is important because all of your feelings motivate your behavior. You do things to feel a certain way. You don't do things to avoid feeling a certain way. The other day I read a book instead of writing this podcast because I did not want to feel the energy that it took to transition from one task to the other. And I avoided feeling that discomfort by reading a book, right? We are all motivated by our feelings. It's the think, feel, do model. And if you want to be in charge of what you're creating in life and in charge of your actions and in charge of the things you're doing and to get things done, you want to be the one making those decisions rather than being on autopilot where you're just like responding to an emotion without understanding what you're thinking. And that is why this is one of the most precious gifts you can give yourself is by understanding that you have an option here. Another way to consider a circumstance, if you can't quite get yourself to completely neutral or like complete facts, which I understand, sometimes I don't even get there myself. Again, it's just a tool. We're just using it and practicing it and trying it on to see how it can benefit us in different parts of our life. One way I like to use it is to allow yourself to just admit the truth of what you feel and how you feel about the circumstance. Don't try to make it neutral. Try to make what you do next neutral. Or the hardness of your circumstance neutral. So stop saying, oh, it's not that big of a deal because it's neutral, or like, it's not that hard because it's neutral. Instead, we're going to do the opposite. We're going to say, it's hard This circumstance is hard. And now what do I want to think about it? It's really hard. And now what do I want to do? It's really hard. And now how do I want to feel about it? How do I want to feel about this really hard circumstance? This goes against the exact opposite of what I've been saying this whole time. However, it's still effective. It still gets the job done. Or you could say, it's really awful. And I still have to face this. This is where that and comes in a lot in coaching. It's hard and I will face it. It's awful and I'm willing to feel all the awful feelings that come along the way. It's boring as hell and I'm open to feeling bored as hell, right? Like we can play around with it so that we are still giving ourselves the responsibility, the ability to respond to our brain and our emotions and be the person that we want to be by being actively in charge of how we are interpreting our circumstances. The choice is truly yours. Certain circumstances will have a lot of different things that come up for you. Certain circumstances are going to be easier for you to think different thoughts about, and other circumstances are going to be harder for you to think about. But when that happens, you will allow yourself to, one, sit with the emotions that it brings up, and then two, look at how you're thinking about it. At the end of the day, friends, I want you to know that the circumstances you're in do not have to determine your happiness, and you can truly give yourself this gift. If you are interested in exploring what this looks like for you, I would love to talk to you in a coaching consultation where we will map out what you currently feel and how you want to feel, and we will figure out how we can do that without changing those circumstances. And I promise you it's possible. I've seen it in myself, I've seen it in my clients, and it truly is the best gift. All right, my friends, come hang out with us at the Facebook group and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. The episode is over, but there's so much more you can get from our Facebook group. Come to the Mindset for Medical Moms Facebook group community at the link in the show notes and discuss all the things about the podcast. Also, you can get coached for free. Come and ask me questions and connect with fellow medical moms. I hope to see you there. Thank you so much.